Welcome back, everybody, to Survivor Specialist. Phil, and wait, it's not Phil. Phil's not here. This is going to be the most fun recap we've had all season. It's Will and Blake. Phil is out. What do we even know where Phil is? He's at, I think, a watch party of some sorts. Is it the?
Yeah,
the
he's Bryce watching with Rice and Wendell take over New Orleans.
New Orleans. That's right. Fun. But we're going to have more fun here. Will and Blake, the specialist. Blake, what did we think about that hard-hitting episode? I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. I have thoughts. We'll start with you. What are your overall takeaways? It feels like, I don't know, Tiana just got, like, murdered by her family, it felt like. I mean, that's kind of how I feel walking out of it. But tell me your thoughts.
It was very sad. It was a layer where it was like, hey, guess what? Things are changing. And then it's like, okay, we're going to be fine. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But even Gabe kind of wanted to get rid of Rachel. This is going to be great. And then we hit tribal council at the 7:05 mark. Or what is it for you guys over there? 9:05 mark. I know you people were like, we're about to have a 25-minute tribal. Like, what is about to happen? And then it was bombshell. Rachel's like, I have been lying to you guys for the last 20 minutes. I said all that stuff just to mess with you guys. I could have told you so you guys could have planned out, but I really don't care what happens to you guys because I'm going to be gone and I'm going to go back with my crew over there anyway. So bye-bye. And then it was Caroline is the person who's so in the middle, it looked like, until it wasn't, of like, what is Caroline going to do? Because she probably has the flip to flop to trip up some of these other players. It did feel
like she was driver's seat. Like, she could have directed this vote to whoever she saw fit, felt like. Like, if she wanted Gabe gone, she could have easily made that happen. She could have gotten Kyle to go for it. Seems like Kyle got the word that this was all going to go to Tiana, and he didn't want to be one to cast a rogue vote onto Gabe for no reason and make him angry. So I do think you're right, though. Caroline's definitely in the middle of this now foursome.
And it was pretty interesting to watch the Tuku go from being, I'm going to be the passive one here. I'm going to be the aggressive one here. And like the person, Tiana was aggressive. She goes. We had somebody have an immunity idol, so, or immunity necklace. So Kyle didn't have to be as aggressive. So he got to be passive. But I think somebody who comes out smelling like a rose, no matter what happens, and was never going to go is Sue. And I think that kind of shows how well she was playing the first half of the game of, it's all, don't, Sue's not going, Caroline's not going, Kyle has the thing. So it is like, are we going to get rid of Gabe, who we have pledged allegiance to from day one? Or is this going to be, sorry, Tiana? And like, I thought it was pretty interesting because Tiana is crying very hard. And we just had Annika go home in a situation like this where she never thought it would happen. And she is kind of like, oh my God, who did this? Who backstabbed me? You dirty rotten. But Tiana is just super sad.
And it's, but she crazy. Saw, I think she saw the writing on the wall and she wanted to put on a brave face a little bit. But even when they started getting up and talking, Gabe goes up to Sue and Caroline's like, no matter what, us three are sticking together. We're not writing each other's name down. Guess 100%. What? Kyle has immunity, Gabe. So you can use fewer words and say, we're all just voting for Tiana. And I believe it was that obvious. And that's kind of my overall gripe with this episode. I think there was a lack of suspense, despite it being like bombshell, like, wow, we're going to split into groups randomly and we have this random twist from Saul who's going to sign as somebody. I think every step of the way we kind of saw how this was going to play out. At least I felt that way, that this advantage, and we can get into all the mechanics of it. I'm not a huge fan, but
we're going to.
Yeah. We're going to. It did feel like the whole point of this was like to produce, it was like a manufactured live tribal is what this advantage felt like. Because I think in almost any case, here, I mean, it depends exactly how the numbers shake out. Hey, maybe you get 3-3 on one of these groups, but let's say it's 4-2 or 5-1 or some split where someone's on the bottom. They're going to be the one getting the advantage, and more than likely, they're going to play, I'm just going to leave tribal. Like, I want immunity. Like, why would you not take that option over block a vote? Oh, you're going to block someone's vote, Rachel. Great. Like, she was never going to take that. And as an audience, we knew that was not, we knew her options and we knew that this was more, I mean, there was no world, I wasn't entertaining any world in which Saul wasn't giving this to Rachel. So then going into tribal council, I'm sitting there like, oh, Rachel's just going to get up and leave. And then we spend what feels like 10 to 15 minutes asking the same question. It's 5-2-ku. Blake, would it be easy, or is that too easy? Or do you want to make a big move, or do you want to make a smart big move? Or it felt like we talked in circles around that for like 10 minutes straight before even getting to the live tribal council part, which again was completely manufactured by the twist. But at the end of the day, Blake, it's almost as if there's like a survivor god or some survivor gods out there that are looking at this randomness. We do another random draw after last week. They teased us. They teased us with a schoolyard pick, which this would have been perfect for, that we're going to randomize the teams. And we're going to do a random advantage at tribal right before voting. And yet somehow, Blake, this was a pre-merge tribal. This was just the 5-2-ku. And guess what? It's as if they lost a challenge. They did lose a challenge. It's they essentially lose. Just lost a challenge. They had an extra helper. They actually had an increased chance to win because they got Rachel on their team, who probably is a plus add in terms of balancing endurance challenges. So they just lost a meeting challenge and voted out someone when they had five people left. And that's a pretty simple vote, pretty simple story. Tiana was always going to go home if that five ever went to tribal. So I'm left here like, damn, shucks for Tiana. That's sad, but it almost feels like the right person went home. And that despite all this randomness, we just had like, it's like the survivor guys are bringing us back. Like, instead of
ball
randomizing.
Ball don't lie, survivors.
Yeah, suck. Ball don't lie. That's what it feels like, babe, because it feels as if Survivor wanted this random chaotic thing, and we got a pre-merge vote of an entire tribe just voting one person out who we knew was going to go home.
I thought it was very, very bad luck to have your six opponents watching in the background, though, of we don't get to give you a story when we get back to the beach. We don't get to go, oh, I was lying. They see the sheer stress on Caroline's face. It's said out loud. They go, oh my God, they're in charge. Like, they have it all literally laid out in front of them. They should align with Kyle. They shouldn't align with the other dudes, because it's like, y'all are the ones that are the mover and shakers here. If I want to blow up the rest of the four blues, I should probably get rid of Caroline or Gabe. Phenomenal playing again from Sue of like, no matter what happens, she's going to get through unscathed. Sue has to be one of your, like, when does she go home? And I think that's a funny thing too, because in my mind I was like, how does Tiana go home? Because we had the like Survivor social hour. She kind of betrays Gabe a little bit, and then she makes it through last week and she's completely fine. And then I'm like, well, how does she go home this week? She's going to be fine, because you see the like, it's five plus Rachel. And then this exact thing goes. And I think that's kind of the idea of like what we're editing as a show now. Of like, here's some breadcrumbs, and at least four of the people that you're watching right now can go at any moment because of the breadcrumbs. And it's just like, you're just hoping when you have favorites, like watching the show with a favorite that you only watch the show just because you love Sierra so much is probably a bad idea to watch the show, because like, these people are dropping like flies out of nowhere. And like, I thought it was pretty funny of like, even Tiana's family is probably like, oh, you made the jury? Like, this is great. And then, I'd hate to be in her thing.
It did feel like a really tough one for Tiana to go home in this way. My point more was like, she was the person on the bottom of that five, and we knew that the whole time. We knew that Sue, Caroline, and Gabe were a tight three, at least I felt. Have you felt that way? Because I feel like Kyle and Tiana have been on the outsides basically ever since TK went home, because Kyle voted incorrectly for Sue. Tiana's been tossing Gabe out at the Survivor social hour, and that got back to Gabe. It just felt like those three were in control. So while I feel bad about the circumstances for Tiana, it's like you were in this alliance that you were sticking with, and you didn't see that you were on the bottom of it, and it's kind of tough breaks how it actually all played out. But yeah,
I'm wondering what it would have taken, like, take Rachel out of the equation, like, if there was a second scroll that was like, and now pick one more, like, is Tiana, do they know to save Tiana, or is it like, oh, I'm gonna save Gabe? And I thought it was pretty interesting that Saul was like, I know I should save Rachel, but because we gotta mix it up a little bit for the editors and cameras, like, what if I save someone at the top? And
what if he does? I mean, should we,
my thing.
Should we so talk about Saul's options here? Like, what really works? Like, I said quickly when I was ranting about this that, like, it really wasn't much of a suspenseful choice on Saul's part. But maybe they're...
Dodgers just scored. Sorry, the World Series is happening while we do this. It's now 5-3.
Maybe go that's Dodgers. Where Phil is. He's at the World Series, pretending to be a big Survivor fan, but he's just, like, skipping. He's not even at the Bryson Wendlandt. What were Saul's choices here? And I don't know. It doesn't appear that anyone... He didn't consult anybody on that beach with his two Lavo people and the three Gata folks. So... He made this choice unilaterally, and it seems like he did just what anyone would do.
He's acting so well.
Yeah, he was like, huh? What? Is he going to tell anybody? I feel like it's not that big of a play. I mean, I guess the five-some should be maybe a little, I mean, come on, give it to us. We could have booted Rachel, but I think this is the right choice from Saul.
It's the easiest choice since 41 with Erica's hourglass. Like, save the person. Who makes the dominant alliance, the dominant tribe goes from 5-4. Your tribe is the 3 of the 3-4-4. Mm-hmm. And now you're insulated from all angles. Like, if you're a Saul head right now, you're probably like up tremendous. You're probably ordering a buff online. You're going to get an extra one for him to sign when you go to Oklahoma to go visit him. But it's something where Saul, the decision is so obvious that it's like, it's easy to lie about it, even of like, it's not even like only Saul would have made that decision. It's like everyone would have.
Yeah. And I think you have the argument, or at least the reasoning of, hey guys, Rachel got screwed with a rock draw. I wanted to give her a chance. You five have been together. You have the most fair way to determine who's going home. Whereas if you all just get Rachel out, it feels like kind of dirty and unfair in a way, like kind of against the
And I'm all for Survivor fairness because I'm Saul, and that's the way I'm going to win this.
Yeah, sure. he doesn't want to get followed by Rome, but, you know, he's
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you miss Rome? I think that's an interesting layer of this, of like, he was a main character who just ate up confessionals, but nobody mentioned him once after Genevieve said, I lost my number one.
I can't say that I missed Rome. I think it's because there was a lot going on this episode, and the rest of the cast is pretty damn good. We had some standout moments. Andy is, it feels like this is Andy's story, whether he wins or lose. I predicted that Andy might be our winner after last week's, and I feel even more strongly about that now, but he really picked up. And the first half of this episode seemed to be about like Andy's revenge arc. Genevieve, another person who I really love, teaming up with Andy and then them kind of leading the charge before the challenge narratively. I think they easily picked up any confessional slack or like lack of big characters. So, and then we had basically challenge twist, scrambling, some
tribal
on rewards, tribal where we did talk about, I want people to rewatch that tribal council and tell me if I'm wrong. They just talked in circles about it being 5-1
and
maybe Jeff was just hamming that up so that when he knows that like Rachel's inevitably going to be like, I'm out of here, like then it just hits a little harder. But man, did it feel like we killed that. I like Rome. I enjoyed him, but I honestly feel like Rome going out when he did is probably the best for him, and that if he had continued to be like dominating the season late, then we wouldn't have gotten to know the other characters as well, and it might become just a bit tiresome. Whereas I feel like I was always entertained by Rome. The 90 minute episodes definitely help in that we could get a lot of one character but still get to know the others. But I think he won at the right time.
Do you guys have a prop bet for people standing up at tribal, and is it a live thing? Or
I think we have, it's the over under game, butts out of seats. So over under butts out of seats during tribal, and it's before you vote, so it's not getting up to play an idol, it's not getting up to get your torch and give it to Jeff, it is getting up before the votes have been cast. So I don't know what the number was set out. Phil takes care of all that stuff, but we got a super chat from Jayburn Aquatics. We got King Saul will win Survivor 47.
He's the number one Saul head.
# majestic hair. Hey, Saul could win. This is a season where I'm not seeing anyone sticking out as like a obvious front runner. We've talked through a couple names. Teeny is probably one that Phil and I both agree has pretty high winning upside, but there's no one.
She won a challenge tonight. She was on fire.
That's true. But not, did she technically get the win? I guess so. I think the whole yellow banded tribe got the win. I think
her and Genevieve tie. I thought it was like, okay, this is just basically, have you ever been a boom operator or not?
That's what the name of the challenge is called. It's called Audio Slave, which is also a rock band.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
A little bit of inside there. Speaking of insider baseball, the Dodgers are tied 5-5.
No way. Have they actually? 5-5. What? Oh my God.
Wow, I'm fine with me having that ruined for me after paying attention to the last four games, because if they win, they win. What else happened tonight? I thought
it was let's do this, Blake. I want to chat through, once Tuku plus Rachel are going, let's talk about this plan, the plans that came up in the votes and the thought processes of all this.
Okay.
And then we can go back to kind of some earlier parts in the episode.
Because Phil's usually the person who keeps us whatever, and he is in a ditch somewhere in New Orleans or something.
Watching the Dodgers?
Yeah, what the heck?
He's a huge Yankees fan, so like, yeah.
He's not here yet.
Like, we kept hearing this repeated over and over, and maybe even more so at Tribal Council, that if they go back to the, I think Becca is now the merge name. If they go back to Becca Beach and they've got all five Tuku members left and they do the easy thing and they get rid of Rachel, that's a very, very bad look, and they'll get picked out one by one. And that seemed to be a very astute assessment, because it seemed like everyone at Reward was like, hey, let's band together, team up. And then a lot of people were like, well, let's see what they do if they break themselves up. Like Genevieve even said, I'm in on that. And only if they vote out Rachel and they're five strong, then I'm in with you. No one really questioned her, but it seemed like if they were to vote out anyone, like if they were to vote out one of their own, that, you know, people with that six was not going to form together. So I think it was pretty astute thinking on everyone's part, on Tiana and Caroline, and, you know, the number of people that said, I don't want to, you know, Gabe was saying it. He was pitching that to Rachel as the cover story. What did you think about that line of thinking in that logic? Is it better to have five people strong against six that are, you're going to now unite six against you, or to take out one of your own and go back fractured as, like, you know, maybe have fewer numbers, but a stronger four, and you at least sacrificed one of your own?
If I have a genie and I'm doing my tribe makeup at the merge, I'm trying to be the one where there's only three of us, because I feel like that is the perfect number. Like, right now it's Lavo. Lavo's the perfect number of, hey, you can use us. You guys plus three would be majority for any us I'm talking about. So great, use us. Then y'all can use us. Then you guys can use us again afterwards. As long as none of us go, and we've seen that happen on,
I mean, season 44. 44 was that. It was the three just bouncing back in the middle, making
Angelina did that on her season. I'm sure that may be even what happens on 50, even though 50 is a year away. Like, there's not enough game to be developed and make new plans to get around how strong three people that aren't going to break on each other are going to be. And right now, I would even say, like, if you have Kyle without immunity in the next two tribals, how do you not vote him out? Because he seems like the strongest one. He's been kicking your ass in tribal challenges.
Yeah.
And now he's just won the first two individual immunities. Like, you're equating the bat necklace with Kyle's face right now.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to move and shake and, like, I want to have immunity around my neck so I can do some crazier plays, you can't do that if Kyle's there.
Yeah, I think Kyle and Gabe are going to be targeted, even though they did get rid of one of their own, Tiana. I did think that Caroline had a really interesting point, was that 2 points she had. And I think Caroline shined this episode. I think she's really picked up in the last two. And she is a savvy player. She is on my fantasy team. And I believe I have the two best players that are playing the game right now on my fantasy team, in Genevieve and Caroline. Those are my only two players left. My first four went as the first four boots. But those two are carrying it.
It was worth it.
Caroline had some really good points. One was that, I agree, if we go back as five, they're going to target us. They're going to target our five some. However, they're not going to target the women. They're going to target the stronger challenge threats. She's saying this, one, because of the challenges. You just brought that up with Kyle. But two, she knows there's a women's alliance kind of lingering in the background, maybe boiling up at some point we might see the women get together. We saw that as a pretty big storyline before the challenge in this episode. So Caroline feels that even if they go back five, she's safe, and that her and Tiana would be safe because they're women and that alliance is forming. And she also says, you know what? I love Rachel. She is an amazing player. She's so personable. Seen. She's warm. She's smart. She's everything. And we have to get rid of her. And it sucks because I love her. And that to me was like, hey, those are good counterpoints to this. Hey, we need to make sure it's one of us that goes because we can't be a five-some. And so I thought Caroline that's like she even said at Tribal, don't make big moves, make big smart moves. And if you do a big move and it's not smart, then it's just going to blow up your game. And so I think, what did you think about that from Caroline? Because I actually bought that from her. As much as I buy that those six are going to get together, if there's five of you coming back, that's bad for Kyle and Gabe. It's not necessarily bad for Sue, Caroline, and Tiana.
We have six women, five men after what happened tonight. So that is a little bit of an edge. And I do think Caroline, I thought she was going to be somebody like Emily Flippin when we didn't know much about her when the first, first episode started. And it is like, she's a little bit of Emily, but like, she is astute and shrewd strategically, but she's even better socially. And I'm wondering, like, for all those people who watched her, like when Teenie goes, oh, I saw the stress on your face. I'm going to mention it again because I do think that was extremely, like, we're only saying stuff from the fake jurors if it really matters, because they're not supposed to be talking. So I think if you go back and watch that 10 minutes, what did the fake jurors say? And I think they're going to ask her about that stress they saw on her face. And if Teenie goes, oh my God, we don't want you to be that stressed ever again, you're in the finals. If Teenie goes, I saw that stress and I want to prey on that, I'm like, Caroline could go next week. Like that. That's, I think.
Or I saw that stress and that meant that she was in the seat of a decision maker and that she was the one driving. Because you're not stressed out if you're Tiana or Gabe. You're voting for the other one. Right. You're only stressed if you're in the middle and that you have power. And I think maybe Caroline being stressed gave that away to the others, that she was the one clearly dictating who was going to go home in that vote. Maybe that was a clue.
And I think to put a bow on Caroline, like, how does she lose? Like, she's not going to lose because she's like gets complacent or talks out of turn or get this freaking guy out of here. I hate Andy. Like, even in the next time on Survivor, Andy's like, hello, all of my groundwork from the first 10 minutes of this episode are now going to be also explained to Caroline next episode. So it is kind of like, are we doing a cross-tribal alliance of Andy and Genevieve have already kind of linked up? We explain that. I think that's obviously important because we never got to pay that off because that mixed tribe or mixed half of the game does win. But like, if you're a Caroline fan, get pumped, because like I think she's a major player over the next two episodes. I don't know if that's how y'all think about this stuff, but like all the people that we have focused on, like we didn't hear anything from Sam. We didn't hear anything from Sierra positive.
We didn't hear from Sue
at all.
She went to tribal council. And I mean, I get they all went, but she was one of the six that was eligibly voted off. And then you throw in Kyle has immunity, so he was safe. And then Rachel leaves. There was only four people that really could have gone home tonight. We heard from all of them except for Sue. So anyone that was kind of holding on to hope as Sue as a long shot Sue winner
doesn't care about Tiana at all. So why isn't she like, you can still get her out?
Talk about like, what was her opinion on whether you vote out Rachel or just keep like vote out Rachel, keep five strong, or maybe flip the script. We know that she does not, she said she doesn't like Tiana. So maybe we'd hear that before. Maybe that would plant a seed. Maybe that would have made it too obvious that she was going to go home. Once they showed us that Saul found this advantage, it was going to send it. Like that all to me felt, and I'll just put a bow on that rant because I don't know if I tied it up ever because we're just having a very fun conversation, Blake. I think the whole,
thank God Phil's not here,
splitting into groups randomly, like we've seen it enough. It feels like you're just spinning a wheel, like anyone could go. And then to add the advantage on top of it makes it even more random. And it just feels like you're putting players under a gun for no reason. And sometimes that leads to like these random twists lead to really exciting episodes. To me, we like sacrifice some integrity of the game with like including all this randomness in here. but the result wasn't anything all that suspenseful because it felt like Tiana was going to go anyway. So I just want to wrap that up. And I feel like that was just an obvious Tiana boot once Rachel was going home right. or was leaving Tribal Council. And we knew Rachel would 95% leave Tribal Council before Tribal Council even started. So,
because the alternative is you vote out two people, one from each tribe. Rachel doesn't get this opportunity of a lifetime. She goes, and then all the interesting stuff happens on the mixed tribe. And I'm glad right. that didn't happen for the first time in a while. Like, that's what I was planning on this whole time of, oh, it's the double boot that happens at 12, then we'll be at 10. But for the first time in like three or four seasons, we're going to have a final 11 vote. And that's one that's going to be odd instead of even. And ooh, when votes are 11, 9, 7, 5, you can do a little bit more different stuff.
Yeah, and I'm because curious,
that's how that stuff works.
Do we, when are we going to, we have to get rid of two people at some point, right?
Right.
Unless we're doing a six person finale, which I doubt. But hey, now that I guess your 90 minute episodes don't necessarily equate in like a 3 hour finale. But I think the episodes are longer, so maybe you could do it. But we've seen six person finales before with 20 person cast. I don't know. We're gonna have to lose someone, two people in quick succession, whether that's at the top of a finale or somewhere in the next couple weeks. But let's move to, are you good with the vote and the strategy of like how this all went down? You feel like
we killed it because there's not much wiggle, and it was Tiana could not wiggle out, and that is the end of that story.
Yeah, and I guess we could say, well, how did Rachel play this? But Rachel didn't need to play this. She opened her bag and found a note.
Husband said, if you get anything in your bag, you better play it. I'm like, no brain. Like, yeah, it's no brainer.
Yeah, what was she gonna do? block of what? Okay, let's talk it out for fun. Do some fan fiction here. Let's entertain this idea that she wants to make a splashy move, add something to her resume. She blocks Gabe's vote because at this point, if you're Rachel, what plan sounds more believable? Gabe going after Caroline or Tiana going after Gabe? I think Tiana going after Gabe, you're biting on that harder. Also, Tiana mentioned that she talked to Kyle and that they have, there's an extra number there, whereas Gabe was just like, yeah, I just thinking Caroline. Like, he might have mentioned Sue, but it definitely didn't seem as tangible a plan. And hey, maybe I'm just saying that because we're watching it on the show and we know what the real plan is. We know that Gabe is full of shit in that moment. But let's just entertain that Rachel really did want to blindside Gabe, block Gabe's vote,
okay,
and then have some live tribal moment with Kyle and Tiana, get together, us three vote Gabe, we vote him out 5, we vote him out 3-2.
Then they never do that because they have six people watching that they would immediately be the next five targets or whatever. Like, I think
it would unnecessarily put a target on Rachel's back. Like, you would get so much attention that you just, hey, I didn't even vote, I just left. Someone gave me the advantage and I'm out of there. And Rachel seems to be already being perceived by others as a pretty savvy player. That probably makes her the next target. So wise on Rachel not to do that. But it would have been better TV.
I think the best TV, not that I'm giving this away for free, call me Survivor, is like, my friend Saul had a no-brainer. My friend Rachel had a no-brainer. But maybe add a layer to Saul of like, hey, if you give this to somebody on that tribe, all six of you will stand up and walk out of the tribal and you won't get to see how the tribe goes down. And then it's like, oh, well, I want this information for my future game, but I want that player in the future game more. So sorry, guys, or whatever. And then they at least have the like space to really talk it out and be like, Tiana, I would say some stuff to you if we weren't watching other people. But if we're being watched, I'm not going to have a heart to heart with Tiana in the middle of this.
It does make it harder to give that heartfelt goodbye pretty much play any part of Tribal Council becomes more difficult when you have.
And
people watching that aren't just jury members, but people in the game. And I just wanted to throw this, it wasn't this one, from Christina. I'm late arriving, but yes, Tribal Council was talking. I thought that was a thought that Christina had said, but oh my gosh, that Tribal Council is talking circus. Yeah.
And people are saying rigged in the comments. It's not rigged, you guys. It literally just had the worst tribal pick, and then it looks like the most, oh my god. But this happens every so often of like,
are people saying it's rigged?
Rachel is rigged in the game. The other Rachel was rigged for it. We got some people in the chat.
It's not. I'm like
freaking out.
Does anyone know what it takes to like actually make those notes in those advantages and wrap them up? And they had it placed at the reward. You know that those rewards are set up before the challenge starts.
Right.
They're not like throwing pillows together. You know, they do B-roll. Like, do they like? There's no, those things are planned so far in advance. Yeah, and like I said, this advantage is a manufactured live tribal. That's what the show is trying to do. So you have to think, would this advantage have worked for the show if Rachel wasn't on her own? Absolutely, yes. This is what they want. This is what they want to happen, that someone's going to be in the minority. That's the person you obviously give it to. That person will obviously leave. We're going to put this block vote there as, you know, a facade, that like make it look like there's a choice when there isn't one. And then you get every step of the way, you result the result that you want so that you get a live tribal council. That's all this was. And it's not rigging it for Rachel. It's just saying, we're going to randomize the crap out of this. We're going to spin a wheel, see what happens. Someone's going to be on bottom. Then we're going to subvert that with an advantage and let the other people shake in their boots while they stand up and chat during tribal. So it's not rigged. It's just, it's a manufacturing, it's
very serendipitous,
a big moment that they want to happen. And I talked about this a lot. I did a New Era rewatch on Patreon for the patrons. And like, that's what the New Era is. It feels like that the show is producing big moments instead of giving players tools to naturally let big moments happen. And when players make them happen, it's way better television than when you can feel production being like, here's a big moment or here's a big choice, you know. And the Hourglass is, you know, the number one example of a manufactured big moment. It doesn't feel big because it's, you know, so manufactured. Let's go to the...
Is Saul going to win the game?
Is Saul going to win the game?
He's the number one winner pick from everybody in the comments.
Is that what they're saying? I don't see it that much for Saul, other than, like, we've heard a lot from him, yes. I just don't know if there's enough personal content.
We got
Saul.
Some crazy smile from him. We got the hair flip.
We have a lot of Saul love.
As soon as Andy was right like here, looking behind the milk jar, what? Sierra was like, I can see you through my hat. Did you find anything, Andy? I was like, that is the most insane like call out I've seen in a while of like, aren't you supposed to be on Andy's side? I'm sure Andy's going to go like, well, thanks a lot, Sierra. I'm trying to find.
Okay, we have Noah here. The block vote is there in case a tribe of 3-3 goes to vote so that can avoid rocks. That seems silly. For us, yeah, and I think that's the point too. It's like, they're, if there's someone at the bottom, they're gonna run away and not vote, and we're gonna scramble. And if there's an unbreakable tie, we have this advantage that can break a tie. It feels like we're going to like infuse chaos into the game instead of letting the players figure out a plan and put it together. Because like I think a 3-3 vote, if the other tribe goes and there's no advantage, that's way more interesting than if one of them is given a random advantage. Because guess what? Then it's a 3-2 vote, and we know which side goes. And that's assuming that it's two tribes voting 3-3. That might not have happened due to what we saw with Andy kind of peeling away from the Gata people, but who knows how that goes down. But
we'll never know.
But we'll never know. But it's manufactured chaos here. Let's talk about Andy. I want to talk about Andy.
Okay.
What did you think about this? A pretty long opening scene from Andy. And I don't know, it felt important last week at Tribal Council when he turned around and said, was I the backup plan? That really, that was included for a reason. Just as you were saying, what we hear in these little subtitles during Tribal Council this episode, like those are included for reasons. And then we did it again in the previously on. So this is a big storyline here. This is the Andy revenge tour.
So Andy says to Saul, hey, what's going on? Did you vote for me? And he goes, yeah, I voted for you. He doesn't say, hey, what's the big idea? It's just more like, let's come to terms. But I voted for you because someone told me to vote for you. And Andy is, I think, in the mindset, like, think of Andy, and this is what you have to think of, is like, he's like, blindsiding people rules. And you're like, if he gets a snippet of that, it could happen to him. I think he enjoys winning so much that that's going to drive him not to lose so badly, where he's going to do everything he can. Like, I think you will see Andy not become the new Rome. I think he's going to be a more successful Rome of like looking for everything. And yes, he didn't find the thing that, but like, I think it'll just be like, Andy's about to play one of the hardest games we've ever seen because he was scared immediately after he just got the taste of the blind side. And like, obviously there's nothing that is in my mind saying that, but like, that's where I'm thinking these breadcrumbs are going, of Genevieve has been shown as the best player in the game. And she just lost her number one ally that she says is Rome. But was she using Rome as her number one ally just as a big shield and she can just grab another one? And if that another one that she grabs as a number one shield is Andy, and she said the words, Andy had a crazy mental lapse. She says it way more gingerly than I'm saying it, but she says he had a manifestation of crazy energy or like stress on the island that I've never seen before, but he's obviously in this
vulnerable
game.
Panic is, I believe, what she said. She put it really well.
She's so great. And
he's amazing, right?
Yeah, I want Genevieve to get fourth place or something. I think Genevieve is going to...
Probably right.
Hey, Andy, let's do this. I love this energy. And Andy's going to slot in right there and be like, let's go, because Genevieve gets to make all the moves and Andy gets to take credit for it.
Yeah,
new era David Wright.
New era David Wright. Yeah, I love this from Andy, and I think, you know, I've this season there's been a lot of examples of it, of what like I think defines a good player and a bad player. I'm not like single handedly with this one trait or skill or whatever you want to call it, but when you get your name written down, or when you're not in on the vote, how do you react to that? And
I would
seen
do so poorly. I would.
We've
go home
seen people react after. Negatively, and yeah. That usually has negative consequences over their history of Survivor. And the people that are allowed to be like, "Okay, I wasn't in on the plan. I'm still here," or "I got votes, but I'm still here. I was the backup plan. I'm still here. What do I need to change moving forward?" Those players usually find success. Rachel being one of them.
Is Rachel still in this game?
Rachel's whole tribe turned on her. They didn't vote her out, but they voted out Annika. Her number one ally, she was left with nobody. Guess what? She's okay. She's fine because she sat down. She said, "You know what? This is Survivor. I'm not going to be mad for you guys pulling off a blindside. We're playing a game." And to just be able to compartmentalize that. Whereas Sue, when Kyle wrote down Sue's name, Sue's like, "I want him dead. Like, right. I'm going to kill him.
I will kill him in front of other people."
And Andy, yes. And Andy did such a good job at like, it almost looked like he was, you know, I know he works with AI and programming and computers and logic. It seems like he was like a computer actually processing the data as it came in. Like
this.
Sam and Sierra. Do, 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 do. They have been using you. Do, 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 do. You were the
Genevieve
backup.
Genevieve is nice.
Genevieve is nice to me. Saul wrote my name down. But guess what? Saul, even though he wrote my name down,
he was
is
sorry.
The most honest person. He's actually telling me the truth. And the reason Saul wrote my name down actually makes a ton of logical sense, because he was Rome's target. And Rome has been known to have advantages. And if Rome played an idol, Saul would have gone home. And Andy was correct to ask, "Well, why me? You could have picked anybody." And Saul spills it on to Sam. And Andy doesn't freak out. He doesn't go, "Oh my God, Sam." He doesn't run up to Sam. He doesn't chew Sam out or lash out at him. He literally sits on the beach like he's a meditating computer and goes, "I need to find a new way forward in this game without Sierra, without Sam. Screw those guys." And he's going to puts together two new alliance members with Saul and Genevieve. And I believe this is very tangible. Now, I don't know if Andy is going to win this game, but from where he's at compared to episode one for him, like, just well done, Andy. Like, kudos to you for even like, you're at least on the jury.
Brandon Donlan can come back for 50 now and just use this as a blueprint
yeah.
to get third place.
Yeah.
Bring back
Brandon Donlan. Yeah, people can recover. So Andy's doing great. Go ahead.
One thing that I think is in my head too, of I just lost some train of thought, but like, the thought process for me is when we're picking winners. No, what was I thinking? This is awful. You go first. I'll remember it in a second and I'll interrupt you.
Well, I was going to move on to the Genevieve part of this because it's like Genevieve has Rome and now she's going to Andy. It seems like Genevieve is doing this tactic where she picks the, you know, someone
the bird who's like injured.
A, yeah. Someone who like kind of sticks out like a sore thumb and that like needs attention. And honestly, like it's like an attention. What's a good word for this? It's almost like, it's like a bee trap almost where you hang up a bee trap, but instead of trapping bees, it's trapping attention and it's attracting attention away from you and onto other people that you're getting all the info. You're getting, you know, you're in the game, but no one is looking at Genevieve. I think Andy, even in his confessional, was like, I didn't know who Genevieve was until I sat down with her this morning. I couldn't pick her apart out of a lineup or whatever he said. It was very apparent that she is very much playing in the background and doing it very well.
Here's what I just remembered. What I want for this, no matter what, like, I just want like three tribal councils in a row where everyone votes and it's a normal thing. And it is because I think this would be some of the most fluid from 11 to 10 to 9. It could flip and flop and maybe even flip back over those three votes. I don't think Tukus would go home, boom, boom, boom. I don't think it would be. I think there would be a blue, then a red, then a yellow. And it would be like, and then who's left at eight, screw with them then. And then it'll be a little bit different. But like, I think this is the meat of the season where we will figure out the best players. Because right now we have a lot of like, it feels like they're a strong player when I watch them, but they don't really have kills to their name. Of like, we could talk about Teeny, we could talk about Sue, but like,
have they really done anything? Because like,
yeah, like, do they have names on their board yet?
She was kind of the strategic narrator over on that tribe, but like, okay, yeah, she voted out Asia, which actually seemed to be a terrible move. But then she got one pulled up over on her in the Keyshawn vote. So like, what really? And then these other votes, you know, Rome was like, no one can take credit for the Rome vote. Seems like that was a consensus decision. And then tonight she's sitting back, not voting. So but Teeny to me does work. Like, she seems to me like, I don't even know. She feels like a front runner, but there's something that also doesn't feel quite right about it. Can't put my finger on it, but like she seems like the chalk pick right now to win.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that. I feel like that's what I'm thinking that most people watching and reading, maybe that's not true.
I thought Sam and Sierra were going to be like in the top three. And after this episode, that could not be like, they're toast, man.
Survivor Archivist. Teeny has the cleanest edit, but she just feels like a threat who gets like seventh. That's kind of, I'm leaning that way. I don't know about seventh. I think she makes the finale, but maybe goes out at like fifth or fourth. You were saying Sam and Sierra. Yeah, Sam and Sierra definitely fell to the waste, fell to the background tonight.
Yeah, they're like, Phil's usually really the person ever who goes have and winning checks vibes.
Yeah, I didn't have winning vibes for either of them anyway, though.
Is Sam going to get third place with zero votes then? Because I could literally go like, he's like five people like that have already done that.
Yeah.
Strong through the first half and then middling and then, well, thanks for everything. We like those people better.
Yeah, I don't know if I see. I feel like Sam is going to. I don't know if I see Sam getting the final three and getting no votes, though. Like, something would really. Because he's not going to be that guy that skates on through without doing anything. Like, he's either going to have to go on a challenge run, which sometimes yields some votes. But he's clearly willing to play the game. He already put the blind side out on Annika. Like, I think he's either going to, like, get eaten up by this Women's Alliance early in the merge. Or he loses in, you know, late game finale stage. I just don't know if he's would be a loser. Maybe he's a runner up. But I don't think Sam's that deep for this game. At least that's where I'm seeing it.
I think a fun question right now is the last two winners they saw was D and Jam Jam. And do you think any of those winners games are in their head of like, I need to start being the D and get my foursome across? Or like, that's where I'm thinking of like, some of these tribal lines are going to randomly be super strong and it'll be like, you remember that conversation from three episodes ago? But I'm like, which tribe do you think it would be that could pull off a D boot or a D win with her four people making it to Final Five, but losing to Keturah at the end or whatever? Not losing to Keturah, but they don't make it to Final Four. But.
Yeah, I don't know what people could take away from. I mean, Dee's game felt unique in the new era that she was like at the dominant, like she was in a dominant position with an alliance the whole time. Whereas like most new era winners feel like they're not in a dominant position and they're like kind of somewhere in the middle, just hanging around until you make your kill late in the game. And I think that's maybe more of what this group is doing.
And I think you can't go against what we've seen so far of like four women winners, two male winners in the new era. Like, the women are well positioned in every single one of these tribes to like not be the first one out, not be the idol vote. Currently, we don't have idols chilling right now, I don't think. So it is like, I think this is going to be a very...
Sue has an idol. Sue has an idol.
Sue has the red-handed one. So maybe that's why you think she'll be fine no matter what. Because whenever, if it does go Tuku, 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 Sue's Tuku.
See, that's why, again, I'm like, I don't feel the love for Sue's. I think I saw someone in the chat here. Who was it? Talking about how Sue looks like the winner. I don't know. I can't find it. But if you have an idol and there's only four people that can go home and you're one of those people and we don't hear from you, not great. Not great.
Yeah, just Sue.
Like, we weren't even reminded as an audience tonight that Sue had an idol. And she was one of the four people eligible to go home when there's 12 people left in the game. So that's not looking, unless it's a huge red herring, I don't think her story is the winning story.
Yankees have two people on base, no outs. This is disaster.
Okay, should we talk? Let's talk through this Women's Alliance.
Okay.
It comes up, honestly, it feels like every other season, and then someone...
Fizzles.
Someone's like...
No, thank
you. I don't want to do this, because if I do this, I'm going to be at the bottom. I actually like Austin better.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I like someone. I have a relationship with two other people. Maybe one's a woman, but one's a guy. And like, I like them better than you. And I'm not just going to like group together with you because we're the same gender. So this one feels different, though. And I feel like I say this often. This one feels a little bit different.
Are we just getting edited around? Like, I think Rachel wants it to happen.
Rachel really wants it to happen. Sierra clearly wants it to happen. Sierra, but Tiana's gone.
Yeah. Sierra's going to go with the boys.
Sierra's open to it.
Genevieve, I don't think, has talked about it with Teeny, where we saw both of them, did we?
I think Caroline and Sue are in, as long as they can bring Gabe along for a little bit. I think Sue is like, Sue really loves Gabe. And so maybe that... the reason I think that this might have legs, Blake, is because we flash back to the Black Widow Brigade. And we haven't done that before. And I don't think they would go to the extent of like getting archival footage and putting this sequence together if it didn't, if it just fizzled out and went nowhere because Tiana goes home on this like random boot. It's almost like we get it as a red herring a lot and then it fizzles. This feels like it would be a lot of work and like a lot of like, why are we bringing in the Black Widow Brigade if this doesn't amount to something? Hey, maybe a woman doesn't win, or maybe a Women's Alliance doesn't like plow through all the guys and like make final seven or six or five or whatever. But I do think at least one vote coming up here in the next couple of weeks is going to be women coming together and knocking off one of the big guys. That's what it's going to be, whether that's Kyle, whether that's Gabe, I don't know.
And but I think that's maybe just feels how like that.
Maybe it's Sam. Maybe it's Sam. That could happen. But honestly, we have this question here from Captain Obvious. Who wins at this point, Will? And I don't know if he's talking to me. We have Willie D in the chat also. Could be talking to Willie.
It could be Willie D.
I said it last week. I started to see the Andy storyline coming together. And if I thought that last week, I think that even more now. So I'm going to stick with Andy right now. I think Andy wins this season. It's crazy.
Wow.
It seems like his story. And I can't, if there was more to Teeny or even more to Saul, again, Saul, I don't think we have any personal content. Genevieve, I adore. I adore Genevieve. She might be one of my favorite players of the entire new era, but maybe like she is so good. The way she smiles, the way she's like so good at Survivor. I don't know anything about her personally. And I think it's a little too late to not know about someone personally. You know, we are 7 episodes in. And because all these strategic players that are like, they look good on paper, but I don't know about their story, it forces me to go to Andy, who I know Andy's complete story. And we're starting to see some strategic gameplay movement for him, especially alliance-wise. So I'm going with Andy.
I think one thing that adds to the Andiness of it all is like, you saw him at his lowest, and then it's time to put on his glasses and talk very strategically. And like, I think every time we're talking about can someone win, you always have to be like, well, can Marianne do a rousing speech at the end over the other two people? And it's like, actually, of course she could. She's very, that is what she's good at. And it's like, is that what Andy's good at? Or when Andy says, I was flat on my back trying to quit the game in the first hour of the show because I was so out of my element. But I have dig deep every day. I have taken every ounce.
Dig deep or dug in deep?
I have dug in deep all every day. And I took every piece of advice from Jeff at Tribal. I have looked in the eyes of every single one of you guys and seen what I needed to do to get to this place. Like, that's what I thought. Could Philip Shepherd do this against Boston Rob for that season? And like, that was in my head of like, Jar Jar Binks is actually the most evil person, and that would have been the best season of movie 3. But like, does Andy have that killer thing at the end where like he can do it, and it's going to be one of the most insane tribals, and buckle up. But I think last year you'd probably be like, can Q get to the end? And it's like, of course not.
Yeah, but it feels different with Andy in that I feel like we've gotten to know him and that the show kind of wants us on his side. Like, I feel like you want to root for him, and we know his position in the game, especially tonight. Like, we are setting up this post-merge, the post-merge story of Survivor Season 47, one episode into the merge, is Andy's revenge against Gata. And maybe that is an arc that lasts one episode, and Sierra and Sam go back-to-back next week in a double... They threw him up as the backup plan.
It's going to be okay.
They threw him out as the backup plan, and it signaled to him that he is the third wheel. Now, obviously, they work together to do the Annika blindside. It's not like he has, like, I have no trust with them.
Yeah.
He knows he's the third wheel, and guess what the show has been telling us the entire pre-merge is that Andy's the third wheel, and he's starting to come on to that. It's like we're ahead of him a little bit, and we're like, yeah, Andy, you're figuring it out. It's like, when you're watching watching a mystery or a film noir, and you like you're one step ahead of the character, and they finally realize something, and you're like, yes, and you're rooting for them. That's what it feels like with Andy right now. And then I'll steal a line from Phil's book here. Here's my thing with Andy. There are a lot of final tribal council combinations where he can win in a final three. I don't think this season is super stacked with game player, just badass, where it's like, man, anyone could win and get votes. It feels like we're pretty top heavy in terms of who can actually, like, who's actually a great Survivor player. I think you have Genevieve there, Teeny, maybe Caroline starting to get into that mix. But outside of that, I think Andy, it's not like these other players are super savvy, at least from what I've seen so far. So, like, I think Andy would have a case against a lot of these other players, even if it is Saul. Like, what has Saul really done strategically other than battle with Rome and then throw one rogue vote out to Andy, which actually got Andy pissed off at him? And that's kind of Saul's resume right now. His number one alliance member got voted off in Asia at his first tribal council. Gabe, what has Gabe done? They voted out TK. That's it. And I guess Gabe did this vote tonight, but that seemed like a unanimous, you know, Tuku tribe coming together, sacrificing one of their own. I don't think that's like counts as anything significant. And if Andy's able to make a move, it just seems like he could, like, I think he can beat Sue. I think he can beat Sierra. I think he can beat Sam, especially if he's going to one up them. That's what the story is telling us where this might go. I see it. I'm seeing it as a possibility.
One final question from me. We can ask, you can ask another 1500 questions, but this just popped in my head. Does Saul tell Rachel, I saved you? Or does he shut up for the rest of the game?
I think Saul and Rachel are, they should be pretty compatible alliance member wise, I would think. You know, Rachel's kind of on her own after the three Gata members, you know, blindsided her basically and taking out Annika. And Saul, you know, since Asia went home, was kind of at the bottom of that tribe. So, you know, I know they got the vote over on Keyshawn, but never felt like Saul, Genevieve, Rome were going to, like...
And I think the game, the editing has shown you some parallels recently. And one was last season, Kinsey is asked, will you stay up with me? And we show Rachel not doing that. And we saw Caroline realize that Sue has an idol and go, girl, I know you have it. Congrats. Your secret's safe with me.
She's so good.
I think there'll be a parallel of that, of when Rachel, again, the parallel of she isn't as what Kinsey won with. Maybe she won't be what Caroline is, and she'll be like, Saul saved me, and that will throw off this easy, we can all go after Tuku, because red and yellow should be working together because they were all just hunky-dory sitting on the jury seats. But I think that's the only thing that can mess with it right now.
Yeah, I think he should say something, especially because at some point, look, there's 12 of you, or wait, now there's 11 of you on a beach living together. We know someone did it. There's only six people. I think you do fess up and say, hey, it was me. You could even say, you know, the show wanted to keep it a surprise, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to say. I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, Saul, like, it's not going to tank Saul's game by telling anybody. I think he does tell Rachel. He probably ends up telling the whole tribe, I would imagine. But yeah, moving forward, I think we are looking at likely the Lavo and the Gata coming together. And
the Love Gata tribe.
Gotta love.
Wow.
And I fear for Kyle. I fear for Gabe, even though they're not a five anymore. They're a four. I still fear for them. Man, Caroline, man. So good. So, I mean, when Tiana, who is at the bottom of the five, in Caroline's mind, I think. Like, when Tiana comes up, she does not run to Gabe and tell Gabe. She doesn't tell Sue. She talks it out logistically with Tiana, knowing that I might have to work with Tiana at some point, and doesn't.
Oh, auction next week, too. Well, oh, now, that's right. Now that Phil's not here, we can do whatever we want. So okay. I've got an even dumber question for you.
Let's go.
Odds on who wins Survivor 50. If you had to bet money right now, Survivor futures for the most money in your pocket. Who wins
Survivor 50? Oh my god, that's a tough one. Oh my god, that's really tough. Let's go. Who's someone that's? I mean, you need to pick someone who you're like sure is going to play again,
right?
Who is like a stud lock to play again?
Christian, that's there. I was gonna go Drew Basile because he was just on a bunch of Jeopardy.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a lock to play.
He's low enough in the like, threat.
Isn't that
zone?
Crazy that we can't even name anyone who's like, well, that person's definitely gonna be on 50. I mean, maybe like the new era people are probably the easier people to choose from. You know what? I'm gonna go Caleb.
Caleb wins Survivor.
Caleb 50. Wins. So I think he's playing again. I think Caleb's definitely playing again.
I like that. I think that'd be a phenomenal thing. What about me?
Yeah.
It's not going to be from anybody from before 20. Who's somebody that we want to come back from the 30s? I think I'm just going to put the energy out there. Angelina wins.
Love that.
Angelina wins.
Yeah. Love that.
She figured out everything. She's dotted her T's and I's.
I could see that. I could see her coming and playing like a really different game, where she's seen how she came across on TV or like interacted with others on, you know, her fellow castmates, and that she didn't get any votes at the final tribal council. So, and then she has this like full redemption arc and wins season 50 of Survivor. I can totally, totally get behind that, Blake. I like
that. So if Caleb wins, I'll give you $500. If Angelina wins, you give me $500.
Either way, we'll give each other a hug.
Okay.
All right. I think that's going to do it here. We're just approaching an hour. So I usually, Bill would usually break down what we got coming this week. I don't know who his guest is on Sunday or Monday, whenever he's doing predictions and power rankings. I'm pretty sure he's got a pretty good one. Because he said he didn't have anyone last week, and then he had every other week lined up. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he's got a guest for this week. And then, of course, Blake, why don't you plug Digging Deeper? Because that's your thing.
Digging Deeper. We'll see if we're going to do something probably Friday whenever Phil's back. We are about to start XL Island for Every Season Matters. That's on our Patreon only stuff, so get over there if you want to support us there. We'll talk about why Cerise season is probably one of the best four ever, is what I'm gonna say a whole bunch. I love XL Island. We have a casting thing coming up recently. We'll probably talk more about 50 stuff, and mostly Phil's just gonna talk about Survivor over and over again when he's not on vacation, right during whenever he does his biggest show.
Can't believe Phil, man.
Yeah, what the heck, man?
Yeah. Damn. All right.
Honestly, everybody, write in the comments who you think's going to win Survivor 50. That way we get a bunch of comments. And then we can have Phil respond to those.
Davey. Yeah. Carolyn.
Krishma wouldn't win a Survivor.
Tom Abate. Lauren Ashley Beck. Jesse. I like Jesse. Jesse could be a big one. I feel like he's going to be too big of a threat to win. He'll definitely play. Tony. How about Tony? Can we just get Tony back for a third win?
Yeah,
that would be something.
Let's just entire cast of 46.
Could go on forever talking about 50. We actually have. If you want more 50 coverage, look at our playlist on the YouTube channel. It's got, I don't know how many times we've done discussions. So
sorry, I had the biggest 50, cold ever too, you guys.
Yeah,
it didn't matter too bad.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Go Dodgers.